Thank you. We're joined as usual by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, Rhode Island.
And University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. Good morning, Maureen.
Good morning, everyone.
We're pleased to welcome back as our guest Rhode Island's Secretary of Commerce, Stephen Pryor. Thank you for joining us, Secretary.
Glad to be back. Thank you, Ian.
Governor Gina Raimondo recently said she expects a purchase and sale agreement to be signed soon with Wexford Science and Technology. Wexford is the Baltimore-based company that has proposed a significant life science park for the I-195 district. Secretary Pryor, how much money will Rhode Island need to put out in terms of incentives or other inducements to help close this deal?
We don't yet know. The Wexford Group, combined with the CV developers, they haven't yet approached us with specificity regarding the financial request. We do know that they will request some investment of incentives. We have a 195 fund, a $25 million fund that was created for the purpose of building out the 195 corridor. And we have some other incentives, real estate incentives and jobs incentives. These likely will be the kinds of incentives that they will request of us. What we are impressed with, we're impressed with them in general, but what we do see progress regarding is their overall plan. They're starting to sketch out the massing, the kinds of physical spaces that they will place on this property. They're starting to define the uses. We know that there's a lab, laboratory and office building. We know that there's a mixed-use hotel complex that includes some residential units. There's meeting space. This is going to be an exciting beehive of activity, this complex that they're building.
Scott, as we know, there has not been a rush to invest in the I-195 district. What will it mean if and when Wexford goes ahead with its proposal?
Well, hopefully it brings in other folks. I think that people have to be patient. These things don't happen overnight, and I always bring up the point of Newport when the Navy left Newport and they let all this junk. Anybody who came in with $1.95 and invested in a waterfront piece in Newport could put a hotel, could put anything up. And the result has been a summer-long traffic jam. So hopefully the 195 land will be done in a prudent manner so that it will help the city and the state in the long run.
Maureen, how would you describe the political significance of Wexford's proposal for Governor Raimondo?
Well, I think it's very big. I think it took a long time to clear the ground. The PSOX were a great stumbling block. Once that was out of the way, Wexford has made the commitment, so to speak. I think this is the anchor. I think this portends very well for what's coming. And frankly, you know, $25 million isn't a lot of money. And one would expect that there would be tax incentives as well. There are other concessions that we can do. Because if you can put this organization in place with all the ancillary expectations, this is going to be a big win for Rhode Island. And as I agree with Scott, though, it's going to take some time. But I think most of the time has been spent in laying the groundwork, which I think is very fortunate.
Speaking of economic development, there's great interest in whether Connecticut-based General Electric will decide to relocate to a different state. New York, Massachusetts, and Little Rhode Island have been mentioned as the leading contestants if GE decides to pick up and leave Fairfield, Connecticut. Secretary Pryor, is Rhode Island still in the running?
I can't speak to any particular transaction. I can't get into those details. You wouldn't want me to because speaking in an untimely way, in a premature way about such transactions can spoil them. But having said that, if there are businesses that are circulating in the Northeast or in the country looking for space, you better believe that we're working with them. We are presenting our new incentives. We're explaining how Rhode Island is an ideal location. And what we're finding, I'm speaking in general now, what we're finding is that we are being received well because we have strong dynamic leadership in Rhode Island. We have relative tax stability. We haven't raised a major tax in over 20 years across the board. We have pension reform and Medicaid reform now substantially behind us, which means that we're achieving greater fiscal stability. And we have these exciting new tax incentives, jobs-related incentives, real estate-related incentives, incentives for the 195 corridor.
Okay, let me
stop you there. These things are attractive to companies. So, you know, it's good to see that Rhode Island, in general, that Rhode Island is in the game.
Maureen, it would seem that Rhode Island would be a real dark horse to land a huge corporation like General Electric. Do you have any concerns that Rhode Island would have to give away the farm, so to speak, to land such a big prize?
Well, Well, I mean, I certainly, as the secretary has indicated, we'd have to have some incentives. But I do agree with him in terms of the groundwork being laid. I do think that a company like that coming into an area like this, as opposed to Boston, might be a good move for them in the terms of the broader possibilities. We talked a little while ago about traffic and things like that. I mean, we are really now in a position to do business and provide some incentives to these type of companies. It's interesting from out of state. The other question is, what can we do for those that are in state? I'm thinking of Citizens Bank, Superman Building. But these are all possibilities that I think we've moved along and turned a corner, and I'm optimistic.
Scott, do you think Rodin really has a realistic chance of landing General Electric?
I don't. I think probably Boston or New York would have a much better chance, and I also don't know to what extent GE is simply using us in the same way the Patriots, remember years ago, would use us as leverage to try to play one state off against the other. The other thing is that Boston has a much bigger high-tech workforce. We don't have that kind of workforce here. And GE already has installations in Massachusetts. They build a lot of jet engines in Lynn. They have downsized VIP. They've also opened a new life sciences center in Massachusetts. And I'd be surprised if these big mucky mucks at GE really are going to come to Rhode Island. On the other hand, we do have Textron and we do have CVS as homegrown companies that still have their headquarters here.
What do you say to Scott's skepticism?
Now, I'm speaking in general, but the reality is we have access to the Boston metropolitan region to the extent that there are resources, and there are, that are substantial at Harvard and MIT and beyond. We can access them by rail and by car, and we are part of that metro region for all intents and purposes, but we also have Brown and the University of Rhode Island and RISD and beyond that will embrace a company. A company has the potential to be a big fish here, but also our institutions are second to none. When you look at, for example, the Rhode Island School of Design, one of the finest design schools in the land, in fact, in the world, I'd put them up against anybody. We need to be even more proactive about expressing the tremendous assets we have here. And again, we're part of that larger region. I think we have a competitive advantage in that way.
Well, Steve, how come then when CVS opened up a big high-tech installation, they opened it in Cambridge instead of Providence?
Hey, was that during the Raimondo administration?
Right before.
We're getting very short on time here, Secretary Pryor, but before we let you go, you seem to be making the case that the Raimondo administration is setting the groundwork for future economic progress. What would you point to after your team has been in place for almost a year now as to what has been accomplished as far as economic development?
First of all, I would note that it's the Raimondo administration, it's also Speaker Mattiello, it's also Senate President Pivoweed and the General Assembly. We're working together beautifully. I'd put us up against any other state
except
in that way as
tolls.
Well. And what I would note is that we successfully together passed an incentive package and a series of programs that are working. Take a look at the Wexford example. We've talked about Wexford already today, but let me note that we've recently gone public with the fact that Cambridge Innovation Center, one of the premier incubators for technology purposes in the country, is considering this location as part of the Wexford complex. And in addition, recently we had LED Lighting Solutions, a lighting company, a high-tech lighting company, make its decision to move from Florida to Rhode Island. There's more in store, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay, we're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us on Political Roundtable, Scott.
Thank you.
Maureen.
Thank you.
And Commerce Secretary Stephen Pryor.
Thank you, Ian.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage. And if you enjoy the conversation, please visit our On Politics blog at ripr.org.
Major funding for Political Roundtable is provided by the Rhode Island Foundation, using philanthropy to move Rhode Island forward. Details at rhodeislandfoundation.org.